Welcome to Turn the Page, the official podcast of the Syosset Public Library.
Everyone, and welcome to Turn the Page. I am Jen. I am one of your hosts today, and I am joined by my illustrious colleague. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Melissa.
Hi, Melissa. And Melissa and I are here with a fantastic author who has a lot of things in the work right now. There are novels being translated into English. There are television shows. There's so much, and there are awards. My goodness, oh, you just got awards. Could I ask you to introduce yourself, please?
Hi, it's a pleasure to be here. I'm Javier Castillo, author of The Snow Girl. I think is the most novel, but I also have another five, so it's my first time just being published in English. And it's great to be here with you. So thank you for the invitation.
Oh, great. Thank you. I'm so excited to talk about Snow Girl and all these other books and shows. But before we talk about that, could you talk a little bit about your writing journey? How did you get into writing? How did you find, thriller, spooky, scary stories? And how did you get to the Snow Girl?
I started writing like many years ago when I was a teenager. I remember I was reading a lot when I was really young, but there was one moment when I was like 10 years old, I read I don't know the name in English. I think is And There Were None by Agatha Christie. In that moment, but I was 10 years old. I was very young to read that book. But yeah. I was like shocked about the being like tricked and lied that many times. So I started saying, "Oh, is this possible to lie in a book?" So I was like so shocked, and I started writing just to do the same. So I remember writing a short story after that, and very inspired by that book. And I remember, like, the name was, like, there was a previous name in Spain that was very famous. It's, like, 10-liter something, 10-liter negro thing in English, in Spanish. And I remember writing the book, the short story was, like, 4-liter suspects or something like that. Only 4, because I didn't have the imagination to create more characters. But I created a hobby of reading one book and then creating a short story, and it was like my game. I was playing with that. But after many years, I kept the hobby, writing a lot short stories. And suddenly, I had an idea for a longer story. So it was my first book. I said, okay, maybe I try with a longer one. But I already was working in another place. I was working in finance, I had to commute like 45 minutes each day to work. So I took my laptop every day. So I took the train, and I was writing on the train every single day. And I finished my first book on the train. And suddenly it was very funny, because when I finished my first novel, it was like, the name is The Day That Sanity Was Lost. More or less, it would be the translation of the title. And I remember when I finished it, I sent it to four publishing houses in Spain. But one of them told me that they already received many manuscripts. So and they told me that they were about to tell me something like, I had to wait 1 year to get an answer. So I said, okay, I don't need that. I'm already working, so I don't need to publish. So I will just upload the book to Amazon, to KDP online. And in that moment, I remember, like, I told my friends, okay, guys, I have one book. If you read it, it would be awesome. If you can leave me a review, it would be nice. But 2 weeks later, I came back to check if one of my friends has already reviewed the book, and suddenly was the most sold book in Spain. And it was a shock. And suddenly I have like my email. I had created an email on my inbox for my author side of my life. And I remember like having like thousands of mails from readers, publishing proposals from many imprints in Spain. So I was like shocked, and suddenly that book, like I saw the opportunity to leave my job and to follow my childhood dreams, you know. But it was like also was like a difficult decision actually, because I already was working, I was successful in my previous job, but I always wanted to write. So it was like a tough decision, but also like very fulfilling, you know. So after, and that was my first book, and everything exploded after the book was published in paper, because when it was released in paper, oh, at the beginning I thought that I was lucky with the algorithm, you know, like maybe Amazon has just put the book in front of everyone, and the people were buying it just because of, if you like that book, you will love this one, no? And I remember when the book was published in paper, it was like a shock. It was like every 2 days there was another edition of the book, and I remember like in 1 month I already sold more than 50,000 books, and in 3 months 100,000, and suddenly it was like everyone was expecting me to do book signings, and I didn't do any one, and I left my job in that moment. So it was like very, very shocking, the change of life. But now with the Snow Girl is my fifth book. And it became just 2 days before the lockdown in Spain. So imagine it was the unluckiest publishing release of a book ever, because suddenly all the bookstores were closed, and the book had just been released. But somehow, like in 3 4 weeks later, after the first strong lockdown, people started buying books under the curtain, because in, I don't know, in the States, but in Spain, the bookstores were closed during those days, and the book owner, the bookstore owners were selling books under the curtain, and everyone was buying my book. So it became like the Snow Girl became the most sold book in Spain during the lockdown, and it was very special. Just to, I don't know, it's a gift, you know, to be with that many people in one of the most shocking times of our lives. And suddenly Netflix read the book in those days, and everything exploded even more. So, and now here we are talking. So it's shocking.
That's so interesting. And, one of the things I'm really curious about is, I think it's very interesting that the Snow Girl, was adapted for television on Netflix as a mini series, and now it's being translated into English and is now out here. And I'm wondering about, what those two processes of adaptation were like. How involved were you in the translation? How involved were you in the TV show and the writing and all that? And what did you learn from those processes?
Well, for adaptation, for the translation, actually, it's very was very easy. The process usually is the publishing house hires a good translator, and you work with them. They ask questions, because suddenly you have inner jokes, you know, or idioms that in your language that they are not very well translated, or maybe there is a description that sounds weird in another language. So they ask you, okay, what do you think if we change the description of this line just to make it more appealing to English readers? So it's very easy actually, but it's very interesting because you learn a lot, and especially when you are learning, I'm always trying to learn and improve my English all the time. So it's very interesting to get to know how tricky the things are. But it's very, very easy in a way, but it's easy going because you are just exchanging emails with your translator, and not only in English, in almost every language. I'm very lucky. I have all my books, or Snow Girl, for example, is like translated into 20 languages more or less. So it's very interesting to get to know the feelings about other languages, because the same, more or less the same questions happen when in the English translation, and on the French one, and Italian, German, and in the Czech Republic also, and Korean maybe. So it's very, but They try to explain the translation, but you don't understand the graphics in the Korean language. So it's like, okay. But also for the and for the adaptation, it's very interesting, and it's a different process because you have to understand that writing a book is one thing, and then creating a good show is another thing. But and I wanted to make sure that we created a very good show based on the story, but also like a very good show that could be watched without having read the book. So that was one of my rules, just to make sure that the show works itself, but that maintains the soul of the main character at least, and the soul of the main plot line, to say it in a very simple way. You know, it's like you have the, for example, the Snow Girl is about the story of a 3-year-old girl that goes missing during a parade. Yeah, it could be Thanksgiving parade, but in the adaptation is the Magic Three King, the Three Wise Men, I think it's in English, parade. And that girl goes missing, and 6 years later, their parents receive a videotape of the girl playing in an unknown room, and you don't know where she is, who sends the tape, and how to find her. And we have Myron, that is the main character, is a journalist that has been abused, and she kind of feel lost. She's completely lost, and she somehow thinks that finding the girl will be a way of finding herself and to face the all the nightmares she had, all the scars and the wounds she has. So it's like a very that's the like the main plot line of the story. But and then you can work on that and make the adaptation in any country more or less. The adaptation, for example, the book takes place in New York City, and the adaptation takes place in Malaga, is my hometown in Spain. And it's very nice because it could work in a parade in Korea or in Italy or whatever, because the story actually could work in every single country. And I think that's the kind of the success of the story or the adaptation, because almost it has been like a huge success worldwide, the show, at least the show. And I hope now with the Snow Girl in the book that now it's getting released in the US, it could be also a success there.
That's awesome. I'm so excited to watch it. With the plot line, Myron does the journalism, and I thought maybe you had a feel in journalism before you started writing the books, but you said you were in finance. How much research about how journalism works did you have to do?
Actually, a lot. I try to research every book a lot, and to get to know very well the characters. In a way, when I wanted to create the Snow Girl, I found this topic, you know, the journalism. It was because I somehow felt, I don't know, I think it's a worldwide trend, but in Spain it was very clear in that moment. Was like we are losing like the truth in journalism. We are just facing sensationalism, politics, polarism. Everything is polarized. So we are like moving in a very weird way for destroying the journalism. No, I had that idea that we need a very clear figure of a good journalist, and I created the character Miren. So I started digging inside how it works, how they behave, and how a very pure and truth researcher of the truth, you know, a journalist trying to find the truth would work. And I created that ideal, and it's the character of Miren, but also she has many problems and many, it's a very real, but also it's like very idealistic, you know. And I try to investigate everything, you know, not just, for example, the setting, that it could be like New York City and how the journalism works in New York City, but also how they release the news, how they try to print the news, at what time the imprint runs, so you have to get all the news before that time. So it's very very interesting. I do that for all my works. You know, for example, in my last book in Spain, it's about a medical. It's about medicine student that has a heart attack in my last book in Spain, and I had to research about all the drugs that they need to take and all the I don't know. She's studying medicine, so she has to speak like a student of medicine. So it's like very interesting to research, but I do that for all my work. So it's like very, very. It's a very funny process because you get to know many things that you don't know, but you also. And maybe that you don't use in the book, but you need to know them just to make the impression that you control everything. And the character could speak in any possible way, but because they know the language, you know.
I think that's so interesting because when you are researching all these different areas like journalism or medicine, you are kind of learning how to speak another language or how to like exist in another little world, you know?
So exactly. And you need to know, how many tablets they need to take during the morning when you are recovering of a heart transplant. And so that many things you need to know. So it's very funny.
Like authors just have many different hats. They're like a jack of all trades almost. It's crazy.
Exactly. But you don't actually, what I do, and there are different kinds of authors, but for example, in my case, when I start researching, I read a lot about the topics I want to write, but I don't take notice of, I don't write down any of them. I just try to remember as much as possible. But because when you're writing, you have all those things in your memory, and you start just remember the important things that creates a very real character. But you don't need to the details because you can look for them back again. So and with the memory, you can focus on the plot because you don't have all the details. And then if you need the details, you go back to them. But it's very interesting process.
For the Snow Girl, you know, one of the things I love, because we're talking about the medicine field and journalism, like they're both fields that also require people to be good researchers, you know, so not only are you a good researcher in writing the story, but the characters are too, because they're also investigating, you know, hidden things. Yeah. And so, you know, with something like the Snow Girl, I think the reason how you were saying before that it's so universal and, you know, it could work in any country, I think that a part of that is probably because it just taps into fears that are so universal, like the safety of children or your child. Oh. Or, you know, so when you're writing your stories, do you often find yourself sort of looking for the those instinctual fears that we kind of all, or are you going for like different things in different books?
Usually I try to find different topics in every book. I try to focus on one thing, but I always try to focus on my own emotions and on my own feelings, because I have the impression that I don't know how to explain it, but I have this idea that I'm not different than any other one. You know, if I care about one topic, maybe somewhere and there are people that care about that topic too. So I try not to overthink about that. You know, it's just I care about how the journalism is decaying. So I'm pretty sure many people out there are thinking about the same. So it's very easy. And to me, for example, it was the missing of Kira Templeton, the 3-year-old girl that goes missing in the Snow Girl. I'm a father of in that moment I was a father of a 3-year-old girl. So I said, okay, this is one my biggest nightmare. So I was like, if that's my biggest nightmare, I'm pretty sure that there are people out there that has the same feeling. And I don't know if there are many. I don't think that could be a universal thing. I just write it for myself, you know, just to try to heal somehow my fears, you know.
It's so primal, that feeling. And I don't have kids of my own, but even reading it, I was just kind of like, this is the scariest thing I can imagine. And I've gotten separated from my mom, and I'm sure we all have gotten separated from our parents as kids. And it's just, it's one of the scariest things.
It's inside, yeah.
So I have a question. The book is not only not in chronological order, it kind of like skips around years and everything like that, but it also switches a perspective throughout. It goes from a third person to a first person. How did you kind of keep track of writing all those different perspectives and all those different time years and everything?
I'm a genius. No, I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. I just plan everything. No, I just plan everything. I need to do it. It's just when you're I think that when you're writing thriller and also with a very big mystery, you need to plan everything. It's like building a puzzle. You cannot build the puzzle if you haven't print the entire picture before. You know, imagine trying to build a picture just building piece by piece. You need to make it and then cut it. No, somehow that's how it works. I try to plan the entire story before, and then when I have everything planned, I just start writing in the same order that you read. That's true. That's one thing. I don't write one plot line and then cut it. That's not I do it. Is I just if you read 190 one chapter that takes place in the year 2000 and the next chapter is takes place in 2010, that's how I wrote it, because it connects better than the times and the time and the periods. But I need to have the entire story just to make sure I don't give a clue before I have to, or maybe I describe a character before I had to, or too late. So you need to have the entire picture and then decide where you are going, what you are gonna tell, and when and how, of course.
Something I love too when we were talking about stories that go back and forth in time, is that that is a good way to keep the reader hooked, because you're reading
Exactly.
stories at once and they speak to each other. But I always think too, like it's very fitting and realistic for people who are going through things that are traumatic, and that have them like living in the past, maybe more than they live in the present. And so is that something that you think of too, like the emotional reality of like that fragmented
Well,
time?
yeah. When I'm planning the story and I'm just writing the chapters, what I try to do also always is trying to, in every single chapter, as I told you before, I began writing short stories, and I have one rule. I have one sentence here in my wall is, when you're writing a short story, you need three things: like a shocking beginning, an emotion to share, and a twist. That's for a short story. And when I write a book, I have that rule for every chapter. So I try to create an emotion in every chapter at least. And with that emotion, it's the jump in time helps you build that emotion. Because, for example, if you want to build a suspense of confusion, or even having something like intriguing inside the people that are reading. If you are reading, I don't know, 1998, and the parents are talking to each other, and they are saying, "We will find Kira, we will find her, we will find her." And suddenly, in the next chapter, you see 8 years later, and they didn't find her, and you are completely devastated, and you are confused, and even you see them in a very different position than they were, and they are divorced, and suddenly they are divorced, and the husband that was like very focused and clever and is drunk, and you see what has happened them to them to change that much. So you are confused, and you keep reading just because you get that emotion in that chapter, and just with the change of time, you also it's a way to create those emotions. And if you And then, for example, if you give a clue in the present, and they say, and you tell, I didn't want to kill anyone. And the next chapter, you go and you say, who did you kill? And suddenly you go to the next chapter, and you are back in time, and you are in that moment, and you want to read, who did this guy kill? So that's a way also to build tension also.
Yeah, I remember there was a part in the book that I was reading. There's one plot point, and I was waiting for it to be brought up and waiting for it to be brought up, and I was like, I have to keep reading this because I have to see
I
if
hate Javier Castillo.
The book takes place between the mid and late 90s and the early 2000s. So I was 3 to about 6 around that time. So there's only so much that I remember of it. How much of that like those time periods do you actually remember, and how much of it did you have to, I mean, we talked about it, you research a lot, so how much of the that was like actually research that you have to go back and kind of
there are things that needed to be researched. For example, to me, my childhood is different from the childhood of a kid from the United States, mm-hmm. at least in the context of the things that, but the things we did as a child, for in my case, for example, I was born in 1987, so I was like 11 years old in 1998. But I remember watching the Macy's parade. So for me, it's like those memories, like nostalgia of being, I don't know, it feels old, but at the same time, it feels new. And with the videotape, also reinforce that feeling of being in the past. So you feel that you are not in this moment right now, so you are investigating something from the past, but also you need to bring childhood memories to the people that read. For example, in here we have the videotape that is the physical object to for those memories. Also, the Macy's New York Parade, even if you have been there already grown up, you have childhood memories just to seeing the balloons in Broadway, you know. And but also you have very specific things. For example, the dollhouse in the book, you have the dollhouse, and I needed to research which dollhouse were sold in the United States in those days, and because here in Spain we have some brands but not others, so it was like very very interesting. And right now it's very easy to do it, in at least in those days, because everything is online, you can research from and also the libraries do a very good job for you, because they have like an incredible amount of books, encyclopedias and everything, and even catalogs of toys, so it's incredible. So
thank you so much for joining us, this has been really great. What's in the works for you now? What are you working on right now?
Well, right now I'm writing, I'm helping with the adaptation of the second season of The Snow Girl. It would be on Netflix, I hope, next year. It would be The Soul Game, it's the second book. It will be released also in English soon, I think it's next month. The book will be released in English, and the show will be next year, I think. And also I'm working on an adaptation of The Crystal Cuckoo. The Crystal Cuckoo is the one from the student and the medicine student that I told you before, is gonna be also a show with Netflix. And now I'm writing, or at least I try, because it's impossible with the promotion everywhere in the world. I try, I'm just working on my third book that for Miren, that would be like the final book of the series. I hope it will be released next year in Spain, at least, and then I hope soon in United States too, but I don't know the date. So, but for the next book will be in the Myron one.
Cool.
This is so much fun. Hopefully we can have you back with a couple other book interviews.
Yeah, whenever you want.
Yeah, good luck. Yeah, good luck, because we want you to come back and talk about them when they're done. So. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
No problem. Okay, so listeners, please check out The Snow Girl and The Soul Game and all the other books in all of their forms on television in book form. Get the ebook and the paper book. Get all of them.
Audio libro too. Audio book.
Thank you so much. It is now time to close this chapter.
It's time to close this chapter of Turn the Page. Join us for the next episode.